We are continuing this morning the look at that we've started already on the Feast of Israel. We have already looked at the Feast of the Passover and have now five tapes on that particular aspect of the Feast of Israel on the Passover. There are tapes number 149, 150, 151, 153, 159. The names of them are the Blood of the Lamb, Jesus our Passover, Passover Communion, Safety in the Home, and the Midnight Hour. In those tapes, the Feast of the Passover is pretty much covered. A lot is shared and a lot is shown in there. One of the major things, I guess, that I saw as I was studying it is that I am washed away from my sin. That's what the blood does, is it takes me away from my sin. And in 1 John chapter 1, he tells us that the blood washes you away from your sin. You're washed from your sin. Your sin's always there. You can go right back to it. It's there. But what the blood does is it washes you from the sin. That's what the atonement does for you. It protects you. It washes you from it. You're cleansed from your sin. We know a lot that the Lamb of God is Jesus. And that's what the Passover is all about. It's about the Lamb and the blood. They're synonyms. When you think of the blood, you need to think of the Lamb. When you think of the Lamb, you need to think of the blood. You need to have that blood on your doorpost. If you don't have that blood on your house and you're the head of that house, you're inviting and allowing legally the destroyer to come into your house and run havoc. You are. If you do not have the blood of the Lamb on your house, if you're the head of that household and you do not have the blood of the Lamb on the house of your house, you are legally allowing the destroyer to come into your home. He can come right in there. What keeps him out? The blood on the doorpost. Head of the house must put blood on the doorpost. A lot of things we could say, and I need to get off of this thought because I'll just stay on the Passover, and I really want to look at some thoughts of unleavened bread. I'm not sure this is what we'll be talking about tonight. May start looking at a little prayer tonight. Some things that the Lord was showing me this past weekend about prayer. But this morning we're looking at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The charts you've got that I've given you, it's really neat to maybe stick this in your Bible someplace and write on the back notes or whatever somebody says that you like along the way. But this always, I've had one in my Bible for years and basically the same outline, and it's really helped me understand a lot of the things. And these are the months that I have there, 1 through 12, are in the Greek. They aren't Hebrew months, but they're Greek months. But you'll understand what we're doing here as I go through it real quickly. There's 12 months in the Hebrew calendar. There they are for you. How many feasts do they have in the first month? Three feasts. The Passover, we've studied. We're beginning now to look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits. What day was the Passover feast on? The 14th. So the 14th day of this month is Passover. Okay? 14th day of this month will be, you look on your calendar, I believe it should say Passover. Then unleavened bread began the next day. Now they ate unleavened bread for the Passover feast, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread literally began the day of the 15th and went for 7 days to the 21st. 7 days, the fullness. In fact, this particular week was called Passover week or unleavened bread week, or it was the Feast of Days. Feast of Days is Pentecost. This is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I saw the 15 days there I got. But anyway, the Unleavened Bread Feast is what this particular week began to be called. So as you look into your Bible, and we're fixing to look at it in just a second, when it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it's literally talking about three feasts that are combined. Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. All of them were in the same week. The third one is First Fruits, and it was the 16th day. So you got the 14th, 15th, and 16th day. There were particular feasts of Israel. We'll look at that one later. The fourth feast is what? Pentecost. Feast of Weeks. It was the sixth day. That's when they had it. In the third month. We know what Pentecost is. Then the seventh month had some more feasts. How many did they have in the seventh month? Three more. Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, which was actually a fast, and then Tabernacles, or booths. So we're going to be looking at all of these, but what it depicts for us and shows us, that was a type of what today is. Your reality, okay? This is type. You're the reality of what this represents. Okay? This, faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. You are faith. You are substance. Okay? This was their faith. This was what they had to come to us in our generation, in our day. They really didn't know what all this meant. It was never really understood until Jesus began to reveal some of it to us in Paul. But what this represents to us is your walk with the Lord. You began with Passover. That's your first day. You have to take the lamb and the blood and apply it to your life. And you're steadily walking and steadily moving through every one of these feasts throughout your life, all the way through the end, Tabernacles. Now that's what this represents. And I want to read Psalms 89:15, which is one of the reasons why we study the feast. Look at Psalms 89:15 in the Amplified Bible at the bottom of your sheet. Psalms 89:15, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feast. They walk. Man, if you just stopped right there. They walk. People who understand what this is all about do what? Walk. You're steadily moving. You're steadily going from Passover to Tabernacles. You're steadily going and experiencing all God has for you. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. Blessed are the people who understand the spiritual significance of the Feast of Israel. How many want to understand the Feast of Israel? Keep the sheets if you can, and we'll be looking at them. It's going to take quite a while, of course, to look through all these feasts, but we want to be a blessed people. If we're going to walk, we need to understand them. Now, why do we study these feasts? Now, some of this is repetition, and I related some of this to you when we done Passover. But why do we study these feasts? It is impossible to read the New Testament scriptures and understand them without a reasonable understanding of the Old Testament. Who is our Passover? How do you know that? From the Old Testament or from the New Testament? From the New Testament. But if you don't know what the Passover is, you don't know what he is about. So you have to go back to the Old Testament to learn about the Passover. Is that right? Yeah. And what about the Feast of Unleavened Bread that we're fixing to look at, or starting to look at, or just before looking at? If we're going to look at that, how many of you know what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is really about? You see, but you need to know. Because I'm going to show you in just a minute that in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us to keep the feast. And he's specifically speaking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And if you don't know about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you can't keep it. So the main thing that we're looking at all this for is because without some understanding of your Old Testament, you'll never understand the New. There is so much talk and controversy right now going on about the book of Revelation. Do you know why? Do you know why we don't understand the book of Revelation? Do you know why we don't understand the last book of the Bible? We've never understood the first. You'll never understand the book of Revelation until you get an understanding of Genesis. You'll never understand what that book is trying to tell us we have become unless you look back at Genesis and tell you what God's going to make us. And all the way through, it's the same principles over and over and over. You've got to know Ezekiel to understand Revelation. You have to know Jeremiah to understand Revelation. You have to understand Isaiah to understand Revelation. Why don't we understand Revelation? Because we don't understand the Old Testament. I promise you, as you come into an understanding of the Old Testament, the book of Revelation will come alive to you. It will. Then the second reason that we look at these feasts, when the Lord brought the nation of Israel out of bondage and brought them unto Himself, He gave them a complete book of how to approach Him. That book is called the Mosaic Law. I know, I'm not under the law. But if you don't understand the law, you'll never understand approaching the Lord. Because you see, that's what all that's about. It's all depiction on how to approach Him. What's the tabernacle of Moses about? How to go to the Holy of Holies. But to get to the Holy of Holies, you've got to learn how to go through the outer court, the holy place, and on into the Holy of Holies. It's a book that tells us how to approach Him. He gave us really five aspects that help us understand approaching God in the Mosaic Covenant. The law, that was both moral and civil. He gave us the tabernacle of Moses. How many understand about the tabernacle of Moses? It's the way to approach God. It is very explicit. I mean, that's what it's made for, was showing us how to go very... Now, I'm not... Let me say this. You say, but Delbert, Hebrews says that we can now enter boldly because the veil's rent, and we can now enter boldly before the very throne of God. Yeah. And you need to be doing that. You need to be doing that. So I'm not talking about your prayer life. I'm talking about your personal life. I'm talking about as a people, as a whole, as a congregation, as a nation, a peculiar people. I'm talking about how we as a whole enter in before Him. I'll touch that a little bit more in just a second. The tabernacle of Moses, the third one that He gave us, was the sacrificial offerings. You see, you learned something already about the Lamb of God. Was the Lamb of God a sacrificial offering? Sure. You need to understand the sacrificial offerings to understand what the blood does for us. So the sacrificial offerings talks about how to come before His very, very presence. The Levitical priesthood tells us how to approach God. Are you kings and priests? How do you know what you are unless you understand what the Levitical priesthood is about? You see? So what He's showing us is how to approach Him. In the Old Testament, that's what all the Mosaic Covenant was about. And then the Feast of the Land, which is what we're studying now. We've learned a lot from the Passover Feast. We're going to learn more from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll learn more from the Feast of Pentecost. We'll learn more from Trumpets. We'll learn more from the Day of Atonement. And we'll learn more from Tabernacles. All of these are taking us unto Him. Seven feasts. What's the number of seven represent? Perfection. How many want to go on into perfection? Okay? Is that one of the doctrines of Christ? Okay. So that's what we're talking about there. And then in Psalms 89:15 kind of puts it really good. How blessed are you if you understand that. Now, I'm not talking about walking before the very throne room with boldness in your prayer life. I'm talking about approaching Him into perfection. Approaching Him unto perfection is understanding the feast. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, I want you to be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How perfect does He want us to be? Move into His very nature, His stature, His very image. You see, God put a face on Himself in Jesus and showed us what we're to become. Then we know Ephesians 4:13 tells us that we're to come into the mature man or the perfect man, to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. So what the Feast of Israel is showing us in part, we know in part, we prophesy in part. But what it's showing us is a piece of the puzzle. Showing us how we can come into an aspect of approaching Him. Does Paul say that we know in part? We prophesy in part? Does he say that? Sure. But when that which is perfect is come. So do you see where we're moving? Moving on into perfection. Now, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Let's look at this feast a few minutes. Three times in a year shall all my people, how you like that? Is that okay? Shall all my people appear before the Lord? How many times? Three. So in your lifetime, there's going to be three major events. There's going to be salvation, there's going to be Pentecost, and then there's going to be a time of moving on into perfection, tabernacles, trumpets, and booths. So there's three major events that's going to take place in your walk. Blessed are they, for they what? They walk. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's Passover. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that's first fruits. And in the Feast of Weeks, that's Pentecost. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, that's the last three. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. Three dimensions of growth. Every person is to come to in your relationship with Jesus. Do you see that? That's what we're coming into. An understanding of this will help you in your Christian growth, in your Christian walk with Him. You're to come. You can stop at Pentecost, or you can stop at Passover if you want to. Never go to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You can stop with Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. Never go to first fruits. Never learn to pay tithe. Never learn to give your first fruits to God. Never learn to give your whole life unto Him, and you begin with first fruits. You can stop there and never go to Pentecost. Never experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit as they did on the day of Pentecost. Never experience the gifts of God, the gifts and all those. You can do that. We can stop right here. You understand what he's saying? You got three major events that you need to move into to go into perfection. And that's what we're talking about. That's what the feast are concerning. Real quickly, a story of the feast. I'll write some major thoughts up here. This feast was given in Exodus chapter 12 at the very same time that the feast of Passover was given. And just to give you a real quick story of it, once a year, the head of the house was to clean the house. Make sure that the house was cleaned. The head was to clean the house. You ladies like that, huh? Let me make it a better way for us guys. The head of the house was to make sure that the house was clean. All right? What this encompassed was the removal of all leaven. There could be no leaven found in the house. If there was leaven found in the house during this week, this 7-day period of time, then they were cut off. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. It never says they went to hell. They were cut off from the congregation. We'll be talking about that. You'll understand what I'm saying here in a little while, if not today, one day. Third thing. This lasted for 7 days. Perfection. Fullness. Lasted for 7 days. 15th to the 21st, no leaven could be in the dwelling place. No leaven. Number four, all the house had to eat leavened bread. All the house had to eat leavened bread. So, in the natural, then I make sure my house gets cleaned up, and then we eat nothing but unleavened bread from the Feast of Passover to the end of first fruits. That's what this is talking about. All the house, my children, my wife, anyone that's in my house, anyone that I'm responsible for, anyone that I'm an overseer of, then I make sure all they eat is unleavened bread. Number five, same thought, unleavened. Just want to make sure I get them up here. Unleavened bread, that's what they eat. Number six, anyone found was cut off. Now, also, what I want to put here is that so far we're looking more or less in an individual aspect. It's my house. Okay, it's my household. So it's not just me, but it's my family. But also, they're cut off from what? The congregation. So not only is it my house, my household, but this involves our whole fellowship. Okay? So it's the entire congregation. Anybody that was found with leaven in their house or eating or partaking of leaven in these 7 days was cut off from the congregation. And then number seven, this happened every year. This was a regular thing. Do you believe that the nation of Israel ever fully understood all of the ramifications that this meant? No, it just became a form of worship to them. It never really came into its full spiritualness and what it really implied. It just became a format. So many places today, it just is a format. It's something that they do. And that's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. And for this time, they never really understood what all this was insinuating. But Jesus shows us and Paul shows us, and you'll know. Let's look at that first one. We're going to look at all of those, but not today. But we're going to look at that first one. The head of the house must clean or make sure his house is cleaned of leaven. So it was a time of great cleaning, great house cleaning. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. Let's bring it through the cross and go to Hebrews 3 and see what it means to us in the New Testament. What does all this mean? All those types and all those shadows. The first thing you've got to understand is who the house is. And if you don't understand that you're the house, you'll never understand this feast. And of course, there's multitudes that I could have chosen to show you this, but this is the one that I felt impressed the Lord to share with you. So I'm sharing this with you. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And Moses verily was faithful to all his, what? His house. Those that were under the Mosaic covenant, under that house, Moses was faithful to that house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And here's what was spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own, what? House. Whose house are we? So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the household of God, the house of Christ, the house which you are. The house where the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost abides. You, the dwelling place. You. Us as a corporate body, a fellowship where God comes and makes His abode in His dwelling place. That's what we're talking about. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence that is rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Unto the end. The Bible always talks about taking something to its fullness, to its completion, to its perfection, to its end. You are the house of God. And you need to understand that first and foremost to understand this feast. Because what it's dealing with is getting your act cleaned up. After you get saved, God wants you to do some house cleaning. How about that? He wants you to get washed from your sin. He wants you to leave the leaven. So all this is incorporated under the same feast, under the blood, under the lamb. This is all incorporated in it. But what you're starting to do now is move away from the leaven. Get the leaven out of you is really what I'm wanting to say. Getting the leaven out of you. Getting the leaven out of your household. And that's what I'm going to dwell in just a second. And then it comes to this realm where we must get the leaven out of our fellowship. Whew. Okay, hang tight now, okay? So, we're talking here individually. Your individual temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Paul says, don't you know? Don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are the temple of God. You're what God dwells in. So, we're talking first and foremost about you. Then we're talking corporately. We are the house or the household of God. And I could bring that in several ways, but the way the Lord wants me to bring it this morning is this way. Natural application. Most of the time, I go in a very spiritual application with these things. But I really feel that God's dealing with you and with me and with people in our fellowship, people in our city, people that we are in contact with, in a very basic way, getting our lives cleaned up, getting the leaven out of us. What am I saying? The Lord's spoken to me. Some of us are guilty of having things in our home that the Lord Jesus Christ was to literally and physically pay us a visit, we'd hide from His presence. Some of you have some books, some magazines, tucked away back there in the closet. Now, I could bring this in a spiritual way, and a lot of times when I teach, I do this, particularly talking about the conquest of Ai and Achan. Achan took that Babylonian garment, that wedge of gold and those shekels of silver, and he hid it in his tent. Hid it deep into his heart, back there on the back shelf in the closet. But the man of God went and found it. And what God's saying to us today, I'm not talking spiritually. I'm not talking just the leaven that you've got in your heart. I'm talking about the leaven that you've got in your personal homes. Books, magazines. What you allow to come in your living room, down your television antenna, or in on that cable. What you're allowing your children to look at. What you're allowing your children to listen to. I'm talking real, live leaven. I don't preach like this much, do I? I usually get, up there in the heavenly somewhere. But I'm right down where we live at today. I'm in your closet, and I want to get in there and dig around a little bit. I want to show you some things that the Lord's wanting you to get out. Get out of your natural, physical houses. Books, some list of things, magazines, TV, music. Very, very natural things. Principle of leaven. What is leaven? What's he talking about? I thought he was talking about Feast of Israel, and here he's in my closet. I'm talking very, very natural things. What is leaven? What is the principle behind leaven? Leaven, from the Strong's Concordance, means to ferment. To ferment. And what it is, it's a little ball of sourdough that's put into a lump of fresh dough, mixed together, and in just a short period of time, what happens? It puffs up, and the whole lump is just like that little ball of sourdough. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A few bad books won't hurt anything, will it? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A few bad magazines won't hurt anything, will it? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. MTV won't hurt anything, will it? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A few books, carnal books, that talks about explicit things concerning it won't hurt anything, will it? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So what I'm talking to you about today is something very, very basic, very, very natural. I'm not floating up in the heavenlies. Anybody in this room can understand what I'm saying. I believe that as a fellowship, we need to do some house cleaning. Not only in our heart, but in our house. There are some things we need to get out. Write some things, just read some things that I've written. Leaven is yeast, just a little bit, of sourdough. When it's placed into a batch of fresh dough, it will ferment the whole lump. Ferment the whole lump. It puffs up the whole lump. Principle of leaven is this, is it works very silently. It's mysterious the way that it literally works. It comes in and it's very quiet. It's very secretive. Things that some of us have gotten hid are secret sins. Secret things in our lives, in our homes. God's dealing with those things today. Secret things. Leaven works gradually. Over a period of time, this gradual process of the leaven leaveneth the whole lump until the entire batch is not only affected by the leaven, but becomes leaven. You hear that? Amen. Right now, those things that are in your homes, in your closet, in your lives, they're affecting you. But if you leave them there, and you don't do some house cleaning, and you don't enter into this feast that I'm talking about today, guess what happens? You become leaven. This is really a good message. I wish that you guys could get into it with me. It not only is affected by the leaven, it becomes effected. All right? Affect means the process is happening. Effect means it's happened. Affect becomes effect. And as this goes into your life and begins to happen, you become effected. You become what you've been and had and allowed to be placed in you. Getting into a little bit more in just a second. Now, is leaven always bad? Is it positive and negative, or is it only negative? It's positive and negative. Right. The Bible portrays it both ways. There's the leaven. I'll just read these off to you real quick, and we'll be looking at these the next time that we talk about this, whether tonight or next week, or week after next, or whenever. But there was the leaven of Herod. There was the leaven of the Sadducees. There was the leaven of the Pharisees. There was the leaven of the Corinth church. There was the leaven of the Galatia church. And there's the leaven of the kingdom of God. And both of those, there's some of, most of them are negative, but it's also positive. And it's understanding the principle of leaven and how it works, you'll understand the scriptures. But you have to understand this feast that we're talking about. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of Herod. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of Corinth is what Paul keeps telling us, and we're going to be looking at here in just a few seconds. Beware of the leaven of Galatia. Beware of those things. But Jesus says the kingdom of God is likened unto leaven. And a little bit of us goes into the world. You know what's supposed to happen? The whole world should become just like us, leavened. So there's positive and negatives. But we're dealing negative today. I know, Judy, get at me. Negative, devil, you always bring out the negative side. I just brought out some positive side. Young people, listen. You are affected, you are leavened, you are affected by the leaven that's around you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, it can be in people, and normally that's the way that it would be, but it can be in what you submit yourself to, the music, the MTV type things, those demonic activities, the books you read. You can get leavened. And I'm showing you, and I've tried to project to you today that even before we began the message, that God's doing something particularly in young people, and He don't want you leavened. Not with the world. He wants you leavened with the kingdom, but He doesn't want you leavened with the world. And He wants you to separate from that leaven. Get that leaven out of you. Now, normally what I would charge the parents to do was to make sure that your children don't get around leaven. But I'm going to reverse it this morning. The Lord told me to reverse it this morning. Children, I want to charge you. Don't let your parents get around leaven. You think adults would know better. But I'm telling you, kids, watch your parents. Help your parents. Help them get the leaven out of their lives. Say, Mom, Dad, that's not right. If they won't be an example to you, you be an example to them. What do you think? Winding it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Very, very simple, basic message and thought. God's calling, asking for a people who will keep this feast, who will get the leaven out of their life. Not only the leaven that's in your heart, not only those things that are in your life, those real secret things that you've got, you think nobody knows about, get those out. But please get your house cleaned up. I'm talking your literal house. You as a house need to get your heart cleaned up, get your closet cleaned up, but your literal home needs to be an example. It needs to be a pure lump. When people come into your homes, into your houses, they should be able to see the leaven of the kingdom, not the leaven of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. And we're going to touch this whole chapter. We're going to look at this chapter because the church at Corinth had leaven in it. You can read about it in this chapter. And he says, your glorying, your puffing up is not good. Know you not? Well, I started to go back to chapter verse 5, but I was... Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? How much does it take? Just a little. Just a little. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Aren't you glad there's some new leaven? Huh? Purge out the old leaven. I'm glad he wrote it. Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. How many want to be a new lump? I want to be a new lump. Man, I want to be a lump for God. Chip off the old block, isn't it? I want to be a lump off the old block. Off my Father, which is in heaven. Amen? I want to be a lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. There you've got to understand the feast of unleavened bread. Passover was part of this feast. Now we've already dealt with that particular aspect of it. Verse 8, therefore, or because of this, because we want you to be unleavened, because you need to be a new lump, because Jesus is your Passover, because of that, let us keep the feast. Does Paul tell us to keep the feast of unleavened bread? Huh? Does he want you to go out, though, and kill a lamb? Does he want you to go out there and make sure, go home this afternoon and make sure that your house has no yeast in it? Is that what he's saying? No. You see, we're through the cross, we're in the New Testament, and he's saying, get your act straightened out. Come on, folks, get it together. Christ has already become your Passover. Now let's move on into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's get the junk out of our lives. Let's get all that little stuff in there that causes a fermentation, and will get you just like it if you don't get it out. Get it out. Therefore, let us keep the feast. How many knew that was there? He says, keep this feast. How are you going to keep it if you don't understand what it's about? You see, this is the purpose of understanding and studying the feast. It's understanding what this is talking about. Keep this feast. Get the leaven out. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He wants a pure heart, a sincere heart, a heart filled with truth. Get the old junk out. That's what the Lord's speaking to us today. The 14th day of this month is the Passover. It's a very appropriate message, because if you were under the Mosaic Covenant and literally fulfilling what it was saying to do, you would be house cleaning right now. You'd be getting your house ready. I'm going to talk about it in a literal sense. You'd be getting your house cleaned up and getting all the leaven out of it. And so what I'm really charging you with today is, in a very literal sense, get the leaven out of your house. Sure, you know I'm talking about you and your heart and your mind, but get the magazines and the books and the junk out of your house. And I'm in a literal way. Purge out, therefore, that old leaven. You can't look at those magazines if they're not there. You can't read those books if they're not there. You can't watch that television if you don't turn it on that station. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. God's calling a people today, unleavened people. And we're going to get leavened when we get to Pentecost. But right now, he wants an unleavened people. In the Feast of Pentecost, the bread was leavened. And we'll deal with that at that time. But what God's saying to us today, and me today, and you today, is let's get out that leaven. Let's get out that junk. Literally and spiritually. You know what I'm saying spiritually. You need to have your house cleaned up. Your heart needs to be pure. Your mind needs to be clean. You need to be pure before God. But so does your house. I'm talking about your literal brick, mason, board house. The 15th day of the month, they moved into this feast. Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they were in this feast for seven days. Last thought. I nearly dealt this morning with fasting, and I was sharing with Carol and Joyce and them when we were down there last week. It just came off the long fast that I was on, and your physical house, I'm talking about your body, from time to time needs a house cleaning. How do you do that? Fast. Naturally, it's so designed that it'll clean itself if you'll stop sticking stuff in it. Your body is designed, of course, your waste comes through your kidneys and your bowels, but also waste comes out of your lungs. Have you ever noticed when you fasted for a long time, your breath got extremely bad? So, y'all noticed that about you last week? Some of you think I fast all the time. Seriously, your lungs also removes a lot of the garbage that's in our is in our physical body, and it comes out that way. Also, your skin. You need to bathe quite often when you fast, because your skin excretes the impurities that's in your system. So fasting is a type of house cleaning. Just throwing that out there, just because we're talking about cleaning house this morning. So if you're going to clean your physical house, you need to clean your spiritual house. And a good way of doing it is fasting. 7 days. Wow, huh? Wow. How would it really be, honestly, if one day a year, I'm not talking about fast, physical fast, but how would it be one day a year if all we ate, we didn't do anything else except eat this Word of God? We wouldn't read nothing else. We wouldn't watch nothing else. We wouldn't do anything else but read this for a solid week, 7 days of doing nothing but eating unleavened bread of the Word of God. Cleans up this house here. The fast will clean up this house. You go home and clean up your house, and God's going to clean up this whole house. Amen. And another thing, I'm through. But it says there, he cleaned up his house. Amen? Two thoughts. I clean up mine, you clean up yours. But also, he didn't come down and clean their house for them. Okay? Jesus didn't come down and go into everybody's house and clean it up. Who had to clean it up? You clean up your own house. Clean up your own house. Know what I mean? A lot of us are still waiting for that guy to come along with fire flying out of the end of his fingers, laying hands on us and getting us straightened out. Clean up your own house. Walk with the Lord. Understand these feasts, and let's move and walk with Him. Let's stand.